It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadows.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. It's all presented by Andrew Mark, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Obviously a very, very disappointing loss for your New York football Giants on Sunday in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Now they head into the bye, and I guess you would have to term it a disappointing 6-4, considering how this season began, Lance, in a four-game winning streak. You lose to two AFC opponents. Granted, if you want to choose two opponents to lose to, you would choose your two AFC opponents. But obviously a very disappointing loss, and a loss in which they had issues in all three facets of the game, defense, and especially special teams, and most especially on the offensive side of the ball.
That's the troubling aspect of this whole thing, the fact that they pretty much picked up where they left off from that Steelers game.
Yep.
You know, all three facets were not in sync in that contest, and it carried over into yesterday's performance. You had the big return from Adam Pac-Man Jones. That was the big blemish for special teams.
And it only happened because of a special teams penalty.
Correct. So it basically stockpiled one issue after another. On defense, big plays once again, miscommunications, missed tackles.
Blown assignments.
You name it. And on offense, three and outs once again, struggles on third down, and turnovers. Manning with two picks plus a fumble. And the turnovers came at critical moments, specifically early in the third quarter. The Bradshaw, he was a turning point in this game. They were right in the red zone. Even if you get a field goal, John, at that point, it's a one-possession game. Who knows what happens moving forward? I'm not saying all of a sudden the Giants are going to win this contest, but the strategy changes a lot from that point on if Bradshaw holds on to that football. He got an 11-yard run, and then Adam Pac-Man Jones, who we're going to say a lot throughout the course of this morning, had the foresight to punch it out. And all of a sudden, the Bengals take away a golden opportunity from the Giants. So those turnovers really hurt in terms of momentum.
Yeah, the turnovers, to me, were the nails in the coffin. If the Giants had any hope to come back, they were squashed by that Bradshaw fumble, which really was a momentum killer and really disrupted what had been the best Giants drive of the day. And then, of course, the two Eli Manning interceptions. One, I don't know what he was even looking at when he threw it right to the Bengal in the secondary, and then, of course, trying to get that short pass off. It got deflected at the line of scrimmage. That's a little bit of bad luck. That can happen from time to time. But the turnovers were an issue. And, folks, we understand you're upset. We're going to get to your calls in just a second. But I want to say this, and we'll break down this whole game from top to finish as you guys call in with your individual points. But I want to get to your calls as quickly as possible. Lance and I will take your calls until they stop coming this morning, so keep them coming. Okay?
We'll take your tweets, too, by the way.
We all take your tweets as well at hashtag Giants Chat. That is true. But I want to make this point first, and I understand Giant fans are upset. The team played two terrible games in a row. If you want to go back to the Dallas game, they played 2.5 terrible games in a row because they did not play well.
Even the Redskins
in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Yeah, they didn't play great against Washington either, or in the second half against San Francisco, at least offensively. Defensively, they were great. Here's the deal, Giant fans. You've seen this before. Last year, this team went through a terrible stretch in the middle of the season, and everyone was lining up on the edge of the GW Bridge, ready to take a leap. And I get it, you get emotional. Eli Manning is still Eli Manning despite these three bad games in a row. Despite Victor Cruz's horrendous drop, another bad play in this game that we didn't mention, he's still who he is. It was great to see Akeem Nix start to play a little bit better this week. He had a Giants leading receiver. You still have those great pass rushers. And unfortunately, this Giants group has proven to us time and time again, in order for them to get up and play their best football, they have to go down first. And this is the down slope. And eventually, if history is any indicator to me, they're going to come back up. Now, obviously, this is playing with fire because you're going to get into a situation here where you're on the ascension, but you run into a really good team like Atlanta, like New Orleans, who all of a sudden is playing pretty darn good football, by the way, if you haven't noticed. And you might play real good football, and you might still lose. And that could eventually cost the Giants a playoff spot. We don't know the implications of these losses quite yet. But we do know the Giants could have run away with this division if they would have won these last couple games. They would be in great shape. And look, the season's going to be a war. People expect it to be a war before the season. And if history is any indication, Lance, this Giants group should bounce back and start to play better and get some wins after this bye week.
The only thing that is a bit concerning compared to last season, and they had a lot of injuries last season, John, and OC came back, and to me that was a turning point. Everything started to click, and they went on that great run all the way to the Super Bowl. But earlier in this season, you had multiple players get hurt at multiple different positions, but the Giants answered the call each and every game. Bradshaw goes down. Andre Brown fills in. Hakeem Nicks goes down. Dominic Hixon and Ramses Barden answer the call. You had Antrell Roll and Kenny Phillips go down. Stevie Brown fills in. Now, you're not seeing that type of depth anymore. So that, I think, is a bit concerning because they righted the ship last season by, yes, getting fully healthy, but also having consistency, whether it be from their starters or their bench players. And that, all of a sudden, has fallen off a bit. And I'm not saying there's reason to panic, but they need to get better and more consistent in at least two of the three facets of this team. Because last year, most of the struggles also were on the defensive side. The offense wasn't a killer. If you look back at that four-game skid, and it started just when they were 6-2 last season, John, they were in that Niners game. They were a batted ball away at the line of scrimmage from winning that contest. The Packers game, they make a defensive stop. That could potentially go to overtime. So we did not see these type of offensive struggles.
That's true.
That, to me, is a little bit concerning.
The offensive struggles are new.
This is
something you have not seen from Eli Manning and this Giants offense in a number of years. Jeez. 06? Middle part of 07 when he had that terrible interception game against the Vikings? Is that really the last time we've seen this type of slump? It's the first time he's gone three straight games without a touchdown since his rookie year in 2004.
I was going to say, you have to go back to 2004, essentially. Yeah. That's how bad it's been.
All right, let's get to the calls, Lance. They're coming in. Lines are all full. Folks, if you're trying to call in and it's busy, just try again in a few minutes. We're going to try to bounce through you callers pretty quick here to get everybody in. 201-939-4513. Jay is down in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Jay, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. I called yesterday, but I think we had lost service. I was discussing about the defense.
Okay.
And I'm calling this morning to say, yes, I agree with you, Lance, that this is nothing new to us. So I think Giants fans should calm down. This isn't new to us. Yes, Eli and the offense played a terrible game. I understand that, but this is what they're known for. I think the bye is going to come at a better time. Because I think a lot of players need to rest up, and we're getting a lot of players back from injury, which will play a big factor in our defense. I don't know. I just believe that the Giants will get it together. I've been watching this team for years. I know they'll get it together. It's what they do. Now, a comment you made yesterday, Lance, was that this is the same guys that won the two Super Bowls. Same quarterback, same head coach, same offensive coordinator, and a lot of other guys that are still there. So I do believe they'll get it together. Yes, it's a tough stretch, and that's why the bye comes at a perfect time for us. And I want to know what you guys think of that.
Hey, Jay, look, I think you're right. And I like getting the positive call on the first go around. That's great. And you're right. It's the same head coach, same quarterback, same coordinator, same receivers, generally the same weapons. Offensive line has changed a little bit. That was an issue yesterday. We'll talk about that as the show goes along here. But I think Jay's larger point is correct. Should you be a little worried, be a little concerned? Sure. You have to be after playing as bad of a game as the Giants have played since that 2008 debacle against the Cleveland Browns on Monday Night Football in Cleveland. Something about going to Ohio when your team's playing very well does not agree with this team. In another presidential year, by the way.
And they've never won it since he, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Jay has the right general attitude. Do you agree?
I agree, absolutely.
Okay,
I think that he is basically trying to calm down Giants Nation and say to them that they have a track record and they have a nucleus that has proven that they can overcome and get over the hump. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I took calls yesterday on the postgame show, no surprise, people saying that we should change head coaches and change offensive coordinator. I'm not exaggerating.
A fire coach.
There
Coughlin
were some comments yesterday for a change up on the coaching staff.
Sean Payton?
No, there weren't any recommendations for who should fill in. There were just calls for at the end of this season.
Oh boy!
If they tank down the stretch, they've got to revamp the whole coaching.
Clean house.
That was some of the messages that the fans were throwing
out. Folks, please don't waste their time with that this morning. And I know one guy is not going to waste our time is our good buddy Ed down in Maryland. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to talk about the game. And just the first drive we had there in the red zone, it was I think we was at 14-0. And then just the red zone sequence that we had. We had two straight draw plays, which was very questionable. First and 10, we call the draws. First and then it's like a 3-yard game. Then a second and 7, call another draw play. And I'm like, why not just throw the ball in the end zone? We're at the 15-yard line. You know, it gets harder to score when you get down by the 10-yard line. So I'm like, why not throw the ball down there in the end zone? And then we call another draw play. Then on 3rd and 4, we call a little swing pass to Bradshaw, and it's like a 1-yard gain. And
well, he was pressured on that, Ed. Manning had about two or three defenders in his face. He just had to get rid of that football.
Yeah, and then that's the thing with Eli. He had a bad game. So many times during that game yesterday, he had guys open, but he just held the ball thinking somebody else was going to come open down the field. He had a flat route to Brown that was there. He had Bennett open like a few times. Even though Bennett had like about 4 or 5 drops, he had a bad game. But Eli, I don't know what happened to him in the past 4 or 5 games, but he just hasn't been himself, and I don't know how this is going to be fixed by just one bye week. And then, like, another troubling part of it is, like, the whole week the guys kept saying, we want to win, we don't want to lose going into the bye week, we don't want to have a 2-game losing streak going into the bye week. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to believe him, 7-3 is coming. And then just to come out there and play like that, I mean, that's a problem. I don't know how these guys could say all these positive things the whole week, we're going to win, we don't want to lose. And then you come out and just play your worst game. It seemed like they were just totally ready to just go into the bye week and just have a week off of work. They just was not ready to play yesterday.
Ed, I agree with you. And I was wrong this week. A lot of people came up to me, people that cover the team and around the team, and they're like, John, this is an extremely dangerous game. You know, it's a game going into the bye. It's against a team that's lost 4 straight, not one of the top teams in the league. And they're like, this is, you know, some people called it a trap game. If you know what a trap game is, you know how asinine that is. But I thought the Giants, coming off of a loss to Pittsburgh, having played so poorly 2.5 straight games, I thought they would come out here and want to send a message before the bye. I figured coming off of a loss, knowing they can keep that lead in the division, this team, like they talked about in the locker room this week, would be ready to go and give their best effort. But for some reason, Ed, and it's hard for me to explain why, I don't have a good answer, because I didn't anticipate this. You're right. You did not see the Giants come out with anything close to being an A-like performance.
They let a first-year pro, A.J. Green, call him out this week. I mean, that's another part of it that drove me crazy yesterday. He said we have holes in our defense.
Everybody's right. Yeah, he wasn't wrong.
Role. They want to answer back to that. And on the first drive of the game, you let this guy open wide, blown coverage, and score a touchdown. He walks in the end zone. Was that easy? I was like, really? I mean, really? A guy just going to talk trash to your whole team the whole week and you just blow covers like that. Can you tell me whose fault was that? Was that Corey Webster's fault? Was it Stevie Brown's fault?
You know, I talked to him after the game. It looked like Corey Webster was in some type of cover 2 or zone and he expected help over the top and Stevie Brown didn't get over. But I think the bigger issue, Ed, and thank you very much for the call as always, bud. We appreciate it. This is an issue we've seen before. How many times do we see a guy beat the Giants over the top and you see the safety in the corner talking to each other on the field afterwards, pointing,
where were you?
Where are you going to go here? They're like air traffic controllers out there. And that has to be concerning. I actually asked Antrell about that after the game, and I said, you know, Antrell, first 12 games of last season, 14, all you guys, whenever you have big plays, bad communication. Miscommunication in the secondary, communication was poor. So I asked him, after the game, and it's funny, I actually had Corey Webster on the show, on the pregame show, and I interviewed him, and he made a good point that, you know, we just got to keep having, you know, no missed assignments, got to communicate well, everybody's got to be on the same page, and then you got to have the first drive. So I asked Roll after the game, is it a concern that you're seeing these quote-unquote miscommunication issues start to crop up the last couple of weeks? And he looks, he goes, nah, That's not a communication issue. That's just a blown assignment and people not physically executing their assignment. So call it whatever you will, a blown coverage, a missed assignment, bad communications. Clearly those two guys weren't on the same page. We'll have whatever you want to term it. It's the same type of errors we saw last year when the Giants' defense was playing poorly.
And whatever you want to call it, it's one thing to bring that up in Week 1 or Week 2, John, but it's another thing to say that in Week 9 and Week 10.
Yeah.
There's enough time that has gone by that you should be able to eliminate some of these miscues and mishaps, and the fact that they're rearing their ugly heads once again, that's a troubling aspect. That should not be happening this far into the season.
201-939-4513. Dominic in Pennsylvania. What's up, Dominic?
All right, how you guys doing?
Good morning.
Really quick, I wanted to, with the exception of Corey Webster, I got to beat up on Corey Webster just a little bit. I think that the defense, in all fairness to the entire defense, except Corey Webster, is that before these guys are players, before these guys are athletes, these guys are human beings.
Right.
And when the offense gets the ball and, it's a quick three and out, you're not giving the defense any time to rest. So I think that I think the defense is being overworked. I think that the problem with the offense is that the offensive line is getting pushed back. I've seen stuff yesterday that I haven't seen in a long time with the Giants offense. They're literally getting pushed back into Eli Manning. And I just wanted to find out from you how fast. Is it Flaherty who's the offensive line coach?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, how fast is he going to fix that problem?
Well, quite frankly, I'm not sure what Coach Flaherty can do. I mean, Christie was out there playing on one leg, and you saw him driven into the backfield time and time again. It's not, Coach Flaherty's decision to have David Deal out there at right tackle, and who also didn't play a great game. And frankly, Sean Locklear, it's not like he was a world beater when he was in there either. It's not like you're taking out Willie Rofe on that side of the field or Walter Jones or something like that. You know what I mean? So I Pat Flaherty's a great offensive line coach. And again, my point here is not to throw the blame on David Deal and Chris Snee. It's not their fault. I'm not trying to say that. But they had a couple plays yesterday where they let guys beat them. It happens from time to time. I'm not taking shots at these guys. They're both very good players. They're great professionals. They're great guys. But that being said, the offensive line was an issue. But a lot of those sacks, in my opinion, were coverage sacks, where Eli Manning dropped back, had a lot of time to throw, was looking downfield, and either what Ed said before is true, he was passing up shorter guys to try to force the ball down the field and no one was open, or I haven't looked at the All-22 yet, maybe guys just weren't getting separation. And that's the point
they weren't.
Carl Banks made during the broadcast. These Giants receivers, aside from that one Victor Cruz deep pass where he dropped it for a touchdown when he was wide open, these guys are not getting separation. Even when they're making catches, the DBs are draped all over them.
But I think you also need to give credit to Mike Zimmer, the Bengals defensive coordinator, and his secondary. I think they did a really good job. They had a good game plan.
Yeah, but
because they basically took away the deep pass and said, we're not going to let the Giants beat us with Eli Manning's arm.
And you know what the funny thing is? Teams are copying the Cowboys' strategy against the Giants. All the way dating back to Week 1, when the Cowboys said, you're not beating us deep, and if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with methodical throws down the field. And quite frankly, other teams are copying that plan. And it's worked.
You can't blame them, though. If I was a defensive coordinator, that's the way that I would want to stop and contain the Giants' offense.
And this is what happens when you have a lot of success as an offense, like the Giants had the last couple years as an offensive team. You see it with the Packers this year. They do not look like the same offense that they've been in years past. You see the same offense on tape enough, you're going to make adjustments. So now the bye week's here. It really is the perfect time for this bye week. The Giants can do what they call a self-scout. They watch all their own games on tape. They see what they're doing. Decide what they can do differently in the second half to counteract some of the defenses they're seeing. And Kevin Gilbride, I'm sure, will come back against the Packers in a couple weeks, mix things up a little bit, and he'll figure out how to beat some of these defenses that he's seeing.
Yeah, you need to step back. That's what you need to do with these next 2 weeks. And I know we had a caller that said it couldn't have come at a better time because I think the caller's right. I mean, this is a golden opportunity for the Giants to now have an opportunity, first of all, to rest guys and get them back to full health. That's priority number one. But priority number two, look at your defensive scheme, look at your offensive scheme, and also look at the personnel groupings. I think that may be something that could be in play for them to discuss and reevaluate. Maybe use your three running backs a little bit more differently in terms of the balance of the carries.
We saw David Wilson finally get a carry yesterday.
Got one
He's
carry.
He's up to one.
He's up. He's moving. Progress. And Bradshaw also getting x-rays, according to what he told some reporters in the locker room yesterday. The Giants haven't made any official announcement. Want to make that clear once again. I said that on yesterday's postgame show. But you don't know maybe what that leaves his status moving forward.
But is there really not much of a downgrade to Andre Brown?
Well, Andre Brown has not been getting great yardage per carry even when he's in.
No,
yesterday he was good, but remember, that was
garbage
time
in the fourth quarter. You can't take that seriously.
No, but a lot of people have still been calling for Andre Brown to have more carries than Ahmad Bradshaw, but the point is, overall, the unit as a whole is not getting solid penetration.
No, they are not. They are not. And they averaged 6.5 run yards per carry, I say 129 yards, but 65 of those came in the fourth quarter when this game was all but over. So you can't take the rushing yards yesterday very seriously. 201-939-4513. Before we go to Martin in Manhattan, I'll get to you in just 1 second. Make one other point on Eli Manning that I think nobody has really mentioned, but I think is important. Last year, one of the many praises, and rightfully so given to Eli Manning, was he stopped forcing the ball downfield, and he was willing to take sacks instead of trying to force the ball and risk an interception or a turnover. If you look at his really low sack totals this year, and I made this point multiple times on the show over the course of the season, that's a credit to the offensive line, sure. But I think even more so it's a credit to Eli Manning for his ability to read the blitz, get rid of the ball quickly, see guys coming, move in the pocket if he has to, right? However, I think he's getting to the point now where he's so good at avoiding a sack, he'll try to do that even in situations where he's putting the ball in danger. I think he's reverted back a little bit.
Yeah.
Not totally, but a little bit back to 2009 and 2010 where he's maybe not willing to take that sack. And instead, he tries to get rid of the ball. Remember those lefty throws he used to try to make?
Oh, which was similar to yesterday. There was one play where he had a defender on him, and he just flipped the ball up.
And that turned into an interception. So sometimes taking the sack is better than forcing the pass and having it turn into a turnover. And it's always when he's on the move. Think of it, his interceptions are always when he gets flushed out of the pocket. You mentioned it, pressure up the middle. And he has to go on the move, and that's when he makes his mistakes.
Or when he's throwing off his back foot, too. Right. There was one a couple of weeks ago he tried to get Victor Cruz. He was all the way on the right side. Cruz was on the left side. He was throwing across his body. It was a difficult throw. That's why I think the decision-making overall is affecting Eli Manning's accuracy down the field. If he can tighten that up, that could go a long way in helping this offense.
No question about it. And I think the Giants did do a good job yesterday, early in the game, being willing to settle for that shorter pass. They had a bunch of... Remember I mentioned last week? Can I get a slant to Akeem Nicks? We saw about three of those in the first half. We saw some throws to the running back. We saw Brown with a catch. We saw trying to get it to Martellus Bennett in that intermediate area. I thought they adjusted the offense well that way. They just always shot themselves in the foot at the wrong time.
Well, the perfect example is this is early in the game. I believe this is maybe late first quarter, early second quarter. They start this drive from the Giants 18. There was a stretch where he hits Nicks for 9. Mm-hmm. He hits Nicks for 11. He mixes in Cruz for 8. He goes back to Nicks for 9. Look, manageable second downs even if you don't get the first down.
And you're mixing in other players besides Victor Cruz.
Then a short screen pass to Randall. And then all of a sudden, later on in the drive, they get into the red zone, and this is where things just completely fall apart.
Well, Lawrence Tynes might end up breaking some type of scoring record this year with all his field goals.
And that's been such a huge bonus for the Giants. And a lot of people are overlooking that because they want the 7 points. But you have to be happy with at least that your field goal kicker is coming through to give you 3 points more often than not when they're in those situations. So you're padding your lead. It's just that you're always getting down to within 5 yards from the end zone, and it's a consistent trend of taking the field goal. And that's why the execution needs to get better, because if you get touchdowns in those two early trips, you know, this game could play out a lot differently.
All right, folks, back to your call. Sorry, we got a little bit of a tangent there. 201-939-4513. Martin in Manhattan. What's up, Martin?
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Well, just want to say something real quick. One, you know, being from New York, it's like I kind of get upset with Eli and the nonchalantness, if you will, because with me, you know, being from New York, it's like there's a type of attitude. Even though I know Eli's not from New York, you know, but he's been there long enough, and you can call him a New Yorker now.
Of course.
You're our captain. And I don't see the fire that us New Yorkers have. You know what I mean? It's like when he throws those interceptions, it's always just like Deion said, that Gomer pile look like, oh, man. You know, I'm tired of that. You know, and I'm also tired of us having to get our backs against the wall for us to try to start playing.
That's fair.
Okay?
No, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, so, you know, I'm so sick of that back against the wall, then you want to play.
You know, we I think it was the second game he was talking about. Well, we wanted to come out and start out early, you know, start scoring early. And we did. And we did a hell of, we won that game by a lot. But the whole point of the matter is, it's like he's not being a captain to me, because a captain to me is using your team. Okay, so you got the offense. Okay, where was Ramsey Barden at? Was he hurt?
No, he wasn't hurt. And Ramsey Barden did play more once Dominic Hickson went out with that ankle injury. You saw Ramsey Barden on the field an awful lot.
Right, but why? Because if you notice in the preseason, Ramsey's was a star. That's how he made the team. You know, and he, even the first couple of games, you know, he was doing great. So it's like, you know, they take him out, and it's like, why? Because Hickson is hurt now? Hickson has been hurt for years. And it's
yeah, but Hickson's had a stretch of good, solid games, though. Hickson was consistent early in the season. He came up with a lot of positive games and was a reliable security blanket for Eli
right.
Manning. You can't overlook that. I mean, yes, now that he's hurt, obviously there's going to be more of an opportunity of Ramsey's Barden, but look at Barden's resume compared to Dominic Hickson's resume. Who are you going to turn to in a big situation because of their track record?
Well, that's true, but you know what, though? The track record really doesn't really mean that much to me sometimes, because when you got a guy like Ramsey's Barden who's really hungry, you know, he messed up when he did that foul and we lost that game against the Cowboys. You know, but the whole point of the matter is that guy, he's a great receiver. I think he's hungry. And the whole point of the matter is, it's like, we're not spreading that ball around. You know, it's always, just like you said, it's Nix, Hickson, Cruz. Nix. You know, it's like, where's Ramsey Barden at?
Nice.
Andre Brown, every week, it's like, I have to wait. Oh, is Ahmad hurt? Is Ahmad hurt?
Marty, can I cut you off here for a second? Are you a
yes,
Cal
sir.
Poly graduate? Because you're a big supporter of Ramsey's Barden. I'm just curious. Maybe you got ties to Cal Poly.
No, you know, the thing is, I'm really big into Egypt, and his name is Ramsey's.
Okay,
you know,
okay, all right, there we go. We got to the bottom of things here.
But the whole point of the matter is, it's like, I'm watching the game and the defense. I mean, I don't know, and I think this is across the league. It's like, I don't know. These guys are not hitting. It's like they're just hitting with their shoulder, and they're not even using their hands. And all those missed tackles yesterday, I mean, come on. It's just really ridiculous, and somebody needs to step up. Somebody needs to step up. The way Ahmad was slapped Cruz's helmet that one time when he hit it so hard, somebody needs to slap Ahmad's helmet, you know, and tell him to get on his horse. Because the whole point of the matter is, these damn games are so important.
Yep.
And I don't care about what we did last year. Last year was last year. Yeah, we're the defending champions and all that. But the whole point of the matter is, that was last year. This is this year.
All right, Martin. Appreciate the call, my friend.
Hey, no problem.
All right, man. Thank you. That's the type of ranting I was expecting more of this morning. Martin brought the fire.
He did.
Now, he touched on a billion things there. Let's knock out a few in a row here.
Well, Barden's your favorite topic.
Yeah,
so
I don't know if you want to add more to that. I think we might see a lot more Ramsey's Barden if Dominic Hickson's out for a long period of time. So let's wait and see on that. Otherwise, I'm not going to get into my usual rantings and ravings here. I think we have more important things to talk about, and maybe in a couple calls we can get to something on that too.
Well, one quick thing that I just wanted to go into further detail off of what Martin said, and we are going to get to the rest of your calls. The missed tackling on defense has been a huge troubling aspect.
Great point, too.
Yeah.
Excellent point, and that is a big problem. Coaches talked about it. So many yards after catch after poor tackling. And running backs, too. You can't
bring
these guys down.
Yeah. And Corey Webster, I believe, had a missed tackle where, you know, Prince Amukamara and Antoine Roll had to chase the guy down after. I can't remember the exact play. I mean, it's not just him.
Well,
that one stood out to me.
Yeah, and he also had the play, too, where he almost lost A.J. Green when his foot barely touched out of bounds. That could have been an 8-yard catch that turned into a 60-yard gain.
Yeah, there were multiple opportunities where they could have prevented the Bengals from getting, you know, a first down, bringing them down for maybe a 2 or 3 yard gain. Those are difference makers, because all of a sudden you force Cincy into third and longs as opposed to third and manageables. And Andy Dalton, it was very easy for him yesterday. It was the complete opposite of Eli Manning. Dalton got the protection because the Giants did not get any penetration. They were not in the face of the young quarterback,
that's why
he had it so easy.
That being said, though, and I want to get back to his Eli point in a second, because I think Martin was very off base on that, and I'll get to that in a sec. But I don't really think you can put this game on the defense, Lance. I really don't. And you're right. The pass rush was non-existent. They rarely pressured Dalton, if at all. But the Bengals finished with 275 yards of total offense. That's not that impressive. Andy Dalton, 199 yards, 56 of which came on that one blown coverage to A.J. Green. They only ran the ball for 76 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. The running defense was good. Okay? Again, granted, no sacks. I understand that. But even if you look at the Bengals' drives in this game, okay? Let me go through them here. Now, they didn't have to drive it a long distance to get some of their scores because of the turnovers. I get that. All right? First drive, five plays. That's the blown cover, 79 yards and the touchdown, okay? Next drive, they get the ball after the 11, after the Pac-Man Jones return, all right? Three plays, 11 yards, touchdown. Okay, granted, you want to keep guys out of the end zone, that's fine. Next play, next drive, 11 plays, 49 yards. They turn them over on downs on that fourth down. All right, next drive, 15 plays, 60 yards, and a field goal. All right, that first half was rough. The defense did not do a good job on those first four drives. I get that. But in the second half, three and out, five plays, 23 yards, punt. The other two plays, they got the ball inside the Giants' 20, so they scored touchdowns on those. Three and out, three and out. To me, the defense, don't get me wrong, the defense didn't play great, but I also don't think they were terrible. If the offense and the special teams didn't put the defense in such terrible positions, I think you're looking at a much different overall picture when you're thinking about the defense.
Well, the Adam Pac-Man Jones return after the special teams penalty certainly put the Giants' defense in a very bad position.
Eli's two picks.
Yeah, you're right. And Ahmad Bradshaw's fumble. And getting back to the part about whether or not the Giants' defense is so worn down, that's a result of their lack of production. These are well-paid athletes, so they should be in good condition. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, but it's understandable that if the time of possession is so lopsided, eventually it's going to come back to haunt you in the fourth quarter. But here's another thing. When you're on the sidelines while the offense is on the field, Perry Fuel has an opportunity to go over the scheme, look back at the photos, and say, this is where we were out of position, this is what we need to adjust, this is what we need to do differently. If your offense is constantly going three and out, you can't make adjustments during the course of the game because the defense has to go back on the field. So the only opportunity for the Giants yesterday to regroup and talk things over was when they were in the locker room for 15 minutes. Then in the second half, you're right, they had more of an opportunity to discuss and game plan because the offense at least did not put them in such bad positions.
And look, in the first half, the Bengals beat the Giants in terms of time of possession 17 minutes to 13. So there you go. The offense was just couldn't get any first downs and couldn't extend any drives. Anyway, on the Eli Manning point, look, folks, people love Mariano Rivera. Does he ever show a lot of emotion and try to pump people up? No. Do you really see the same from Derek Jeter? No, you don't. You can be a leader without being that fiery, yelling at people, you know, type of player. You can.
Look at Justin Tuck on defense, too.
Eli's led you to two Super Bowls, folks. All right? Let's not start questioning his leadership ability now, please. This isn't 2005. Let's not get back in the DeLorean here, all right? Let's stay in the present. Let's not revisit old arguments. 201-939-4513. The election is over, and Jerry in Boca Raton is back on board. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm fine. Either you guys are mind readers or you heard what I said to your producer because you've touched upon every point that I wanted to make. Well, first of all, let me just add one thing.
Sure. What do you got?
My thought is that the last two games can be, because of the timing, a blessing in disguise. But I think what we need to do right now is, beside the self-scouting that has to be done, I think if they put it together in a particular way, it can make a difference. And I think it starts out at the offensive line. And based on past performance, they've got to look at that personnel grouping, see which ones work better, and be ready to substitute. I know they don't like to substitute offensive line during the game, but maybe from time to time, under particular circumstances, that might make a difference. Why? The object of this thing is to get the run improved. They've got to get more production out of the run. And they're not getting it right now. They've made excuses that some of the guys can't pick up the blitz and they don't want to put them in. But they've got to look at this thing during the self-scouting period and figure out how to get more production out of the run. Why? It uses up the clock. Sets the balance a little bit better. It opens up the play-action pass. You open that up. And just as you said, It keeps the defense fresh. It changes the whole dynamic of the game. So the linchpin of this whole thing is to get that offensive line in order. The rest of the stuff can fall into place because you've got to get more production out of the run.
I think that's a key imperative of to get that offense back on track. You're right, Jerry. I mean, they really need some semblance of the running game. It's hurt them. But you know what? I look back at the third down numbers, Jerry, from yesterday, and despite their lackluster production on the ground, they did not face that many third and longs. You know,
no.
You look early in the game, it was third and four, third and four, third and five, third and three. There was a third and one.
But they couldn't convert.
But that's surprising given that they couldn't run the
football.
They
were third and manageables. Like we mentioned, they had the running game. In the first half, the running game wasn't brutal. They had those short passes going, Jerry. They got into some third and manageables in that first half, because I think that's when you got to look at it. The Giants only tried to rush the ball six times and for 16 yards, and one of those was an Eli Manning run. So it was really five carries for 15 yards in that first half. And do you want better than that? Sure, but I think you'd also like a little better balance there. 20 passes and only six run attempts in that first half.
Absolutely, but you want to have confidence that you're going to have production in the run. And every time they get into the red zone, instead of them running the ball, which would make more sense, they keep trying to throw the ball. And you've got to change up how you do things. Otherwise, everybody's going to say, all right, this is the predictability. 75% of the time they're going to do this. We're going to take our shot at defending against this particular kind of play. And that's the reason why I think they're having such difficulty. They're not getting the production on a reliable basis. If you go back in the past history of the Giants, when they had a good running game, they did very, very well. They never had a really great passing game until Eli came along. Even in the days of Phil Simms and some of the other guys, and all the way going back to Charlie Connerly, they have never had the kind of production that they have right now to the passing game. So they've tilted over, and they rely on that all the time.
But when they really had great success in the running game recently with Earth, Wind, and Fire, the reason I think it was effective was because they were utilizing three different running backs. They weren't necessarily relying on just one power back to carry the load. That's why I think perhaps during the next 2 weeks, they may want to look for ways to get David Wilson more involved and also balance things out better between Bradshaw and Brown, because if you give defenses multiple looks, that can maybe keep them on their toes and catch them off guard. Right now, you can make the argument the running game is a little too predictable because they've been leaning on just one style of running back.
I totally agree, and I think what they need to do is work on getting these guys set so they know how to pick up the blitz. I mean, how difficult can it be if you have a week to prepare and start looking at these guys and saying, all right, this is the way this team tends to do this. This is the kind of blitz you've got to look for. Put the guys in there in plays when you don't want to actually run, but have them practice and learn to pick up the blitz so they don't have to do two jobs at the same time. Eventually, these guys will learn it, and then they can be used more effectively as runners.
All right, Jerry, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513.
And let's go to Ben in New Jersey. Ben, good morning, pal.
Hey, how you doing? On a side note, Teddy Roosevelt's famous quote, "Speak softly, walk with a big stick." I think that applies to Eli.
Yes.
Or Dallas Martin.
Excellent point.
But Jerry and you two, the last caller, you guys almost completely made my comments moot. Because my opinion is, I think the game plans are becoming stagnant. Typically, on long downs, on offense, it's like, what, third and 15 or third plus eight. Screen plays are usually 75% predictably called on those situations. Like you said, a three running back system was very successful in that. In those years, helped with the play action, helped with the game plan, and defenses having to like try to figure out how to adjust and know at what time are certain plays called. When certain running backs are in there, it's like I'm seeing it, and I'm not a defensive coordinator. I never game plan for anything like that, but it looks like the defense can just literally know what particular plays are being called depending on who is in the backfield. That's for one. But my issue is with the coaching. It seems like they're being stagnant and stubborn in their ways and not being able to adjust to how they're being defended offensively or defensively, how they're being attacked. And I just wanted to know, like, what's your opinion on that?
You know what? I think the Giants pretty much run the same plays no matter which of the running backs is in the game, except for David Wilson. I think they run a little bit of different stuff when Wilson's in there. But I think Bradshaw and Brown Lance pretty much have the same plays and the same game plan.
Yeah, I mean, they're somewhat similar, though Bradshaw, you can make the argument, takes a little bit more risk than Brown does. I think Brown sticks to the scheme more and will run in between the tackles and up the gut, whereas Bradshaw will not hesitate to take it out to the edge if he finds that there's opportunities. But you're right. I think mostly they do have just different personnel trying to fit into the same system. It's not as if they have X amount of plays for Bradshaw, X amount of plays for Brown, and that's why they utilize both of those running backs. Wilson is a little bit different, as John just touched on. There's a package for David Wilson.
Right.
And the problem has been they have not had many opportunities over the last couple of weeks to utilize him. And also, there's the pass protection issue, and I know Jerry had talked about this. You figure now that you're 10 weeks into the season and he's had enough practice reps, perhaps you can give him opportunities to get in the mix with respect to the pass protection scheme, and appreciate the phone call. The other thing to throw in, if you're still not confident in David Wilson regarding the pass protection, then just have him run on first down when teams probably won't blitz more often than not, and then utilize your other running backs when you're in those passing situations.
Look, the guy's so electric. You're having trouble on offense with your traditional passing game. Do what you can to make a big play with your playmakers. Get them on the field.
I mean, that's the bottom line right now, and that's maybe something that they're going to have to review over the next 2 weeks. You want to put this team in the best position to succeed, and if that means catching a defense off guard by expanding a player's role who was limited over the first 10 weeks, then maybe that's what they have to do.
Maybe rumor Ruben Randall as well, another guy capable of making some big plays down the field. 201-939-4513, Unique in North Carolina. What's up, Unique?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, pal?
I'm doing good. I'm a big fan of y'all's. I moved from New York down to North Carolina, and all I do is listen to y'all. But
Thanks, man.
No problem. Just a few little things to touch on. David Wilson fumbled. Beginning the season, Tom Coughlin sat him down. Was furious. Matt Bradshaw, everybody know Bradshaw, he fumbles. Big drive, we were going down about the score, he fumbled. I think that killed our momentum. That killed everything that we wanted to do.
Agreed.
My thing is this. Okay, Bradshaw is fumbling. I think that we should let Brown come in and take more of the handoffs and let Bradshaw be more of a third down back. That's just one of my opinions. David Wilson's been doing great off the kickoff returns. I think, like you said, I like what you said. I think we should run him more on first downs, more speedy back. I think that will just, you know, make it easy for Eli to throw the ball and everything like that. The defense, I'm from New York, Brooklyn, and we just don't got that swagger like we used to have in the 80s and everything, in the mid-80s and all that. And I think that what we really miss is that attitude and swagger with our defense like we used to have. So, I don't know. Our secondary don't look the sharpest. I'm worried about Webster because the blown coverage yesterday was just terrible. It was terrible. And Prince ain't stepping up like I thought he would after his injury from last year. He had a pretty good end of the year last year, but this year he's not himself, you know. And
where'd you grow up in Brooklyn, Unique?
Brownsville.
Oh, very nice, very nice. I grew up in Flatbush, so I'm not that far from there, obviously. I think you make some good points, and I think running backs are an issue, and I think you move guys around, maybe you'll have a little bit more success here or there. But honestly, Unique, I think a lot of this is on the offensive line. I don't think you see a lot of running room a lot of the time. And when Andre Brown had his success in this particular game, it was in garbage time when the Bengals are going to let the Giants run as many plays as they want running the football because they don't want to allow a big play down the field because they're up 31-6. So
the urgency is not there.
Exactly. So, look, would I mind seeing a little bit more Andre Brown? Sure. I hate the fact that Bradshaw practices once a week for the past 4 weeks. And quite frankly, since he got into that routine of not practicing more than once a week, he hasn't been as effective as he was before. So is there a relationship there? Is it just a coincidence? I don't know. I can't say that for sure, Unique. And thank you very much for the call, my friend. Please give us a call back. Good to hear from you. It is a cause and effect there, isn't it?
I think that's a great point. Akeem Nicks, think about it. He's been better since he's been able to get more on the practice field throughout the course of the week instead of doing one practice each week and then going out there on Sundays. That affects the consistency of how the running back plays with the offensive line. You're right, John. There hasn't been many holes, but if the offensive line is practicing with Bradshaw, they know his tendencies more often than not. So what he's doing Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday can easily be translated to Sunday. If you have Brown taking the bulk of the carries in practice, and then Bradshaw's out there Sunday, that can disrupt the continuity. So perhaps Bradshaw now has 2 weeks to rest and recuperate. Maybe, if there's anything positive to take away from this bye week, he can go back to practicing 2 to 3 days per week.
You know what, though? With that foot, do you really believe that's going to happen?
Well, especially, no, if he's dealing with now another injury. There may be another injury in play now.
I know. I mean, it's the same thing with him every year. It's the same thing with him every year. Why would you think it's going to change now? It's been the same thing since 2008. Why would it change?
And that's why you either have to mix and match personnel or leave it as it is and hope you get better blocking from the offensive line. But they're not bringing a running back out from the street to help this running game.
And quite frankly,
happening.
You don't know if Andre Brown's going to be able to last over a course of 4 or 5 games. He's never had to do it before. So
and
you don't
he's
know
had
what
the
his,
shoulder injury to deal with.
You don't know what his durability is going to be. Same thing with David Wilson. So clearly the Giants have to figure something out of this running back position. But as long as Bradshaw's not practicing more than once a week, I can't imagine he's going to be a dominant back.
Now, here's another thing that I wanted to throw out to maybe get a little bit creative and help spark the running game. What about involving the fullback a little bit more or the tight ends? Just listen, I'm not saying it's going
to
drastically
change. You want to hand the ball to Henry Hanoski?
Catch the defense off guard. Just mix and match a little bit with the personnel.
Oh, you are desperate.
Well, listen, at this point, wouldn't you describe that, as the Giants running game?
That is a desperate act from a desperate man.
I don't think it's going to completely change how successful they are. But at this point, you need to look at all options.
Some naked boots with Eli Manning.
If it can work, it can work.
Oh, boy. Let's go back to the calls and get some sanity on this show. 201-939-4513. Frank's in New Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys.
Frank?
Yeah, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? What's up?
Good, all right. Just a couple of things. I'm really frustrated these last couple of weeks.
Yep.
I don't want to pick on Bradshaw, but I just want to point this one play, though, on the play on the fumble, they had a replay view from behind. For some reason, I saw he could have split those two defenders, put his head shoulder down, but he decided to cut it to his left, and then he fumbled it. But I thought he could have just put his shoulder down, and I don't like his running style. I think Brown should he should run more of the carries, but
hey,
I don't want to beat that issue too much. But let's get back to you guys were saying about the game plan, that all the teams are catching up on what they're doing.
Right.
If that's the case, why isn't the coaching staff changing the plays or changing the way they run? Like in this week, they're saying, well, we're going to go to 2-minute offense early to get them in a rhythm. Well, you're already telling the defense what they're going to do.
Yeah, but right? You know, but telling you're going into 2-minute offense doesn't tell the defense what plays you're running. It just says what you're going to do to hurry things up. Which, by the way, it didn't work. They went 3 and out when they tried to go in the huddle on that one drive. And I think you are going to see, Frank, this week on the bye when they do their self-scout. No. I think you are going to see some adjustments. Look, this is only something that's come up the last 2 or 3 weeks. You don't really want your offensive coordinator changing his entire game plan off just 1 or 2 bad games. That's bad coaching. So now you have a little bit of pattern here. If you see a pattern of the type of defenses that are being played against you, now during the bye, you go in there, and now you make your adjustments.
Right. Yeah, but also, wouldn't you attribute the lack of the passing game to the running game that we don't have?
I think it's a little everything.
If they don't fear our running game, of course they're gonna play deep on us and double cover Cruz and Knicks.
Yes,
I think that's what's happening also.
Yeah, Frank, I agree 100%, and thank you very much for the call, my friend. Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Frank. One more. You have one more point?
Yeah, one more point real
sure.
quick. Deal. I mean, is he capable of playing? Why did they make the change from Deal to Locklear?
Well, the Giants' philosophy as an organization is that, thank you very much for the call, you cannot lose your starting job due to an injury. And that's admirable. But when you come back, you got to play well. So, you know, if you come back, and again, I'm not looking at coaches' tape. We're going off TV stuff. It's hard to tell how these offensive linemen are playing. The coaches look at the tape. If they find that David Deal is not playing well and Sean Locklear should replace him, and I don't know if that's the case or not, you got to look at the tape for that. They'll make the move. They're not going to leave him in there if he's not going to give the team the best chance to win. It's too important for that. But heading back to your other point on Bradshaw specifically, sometimes I think he makes a bad decision in terms of cutting it back inside or going outside. And Howard Cross and Carl Banks talk about that a lot on the broadcast. And then finally, your last point was I'm trying to think of what we were going to comment on.
Well, he was also talking
one.
About the coaches changing up the plays
right.
because the defenses are catching up with them. And he's right, though, because if you're not running the football, you're going to bring an extra defensive back.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, you know what, we're going to take away the Giants' passing game. Let's see what Bradshaw could do.
But
trying to get 5 yards.
If you want to look at an overarching reason for why this Giant offense is struggling, I don't think there is one. I think there's plenty of blame to go around. At times, the offensive line doesn't open up enough holes for the running game or give Eli Manning enough time to throw the ball.
Lack of protection.
At times, maybe Eli Manning refuses to take a short pass, tries to force it downfield a little bit too much, or won't take a sack. We talked about that earlier.
Decision-making, yep.
Exactly. Then you have the wide receivers. Are they getting the separation they need to get down the field to give Eli Manning space to make those passes? So are the running backs taking advantage of the holes they are getting from the offensive line? I think there's plenty of blame to go around to all different positions on this Giants offense.
Drops by receivers, too, I'll throw into the mix.
Great point.
But that's what's so mind-boggling about the situation, John.
It's all falling apart at the same time.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how dynamic this offense was. Top 5 in the league, huge playmakers, big plays. They had a running game going for once. They ran for 200 yards. They ran for 100 yards against the Niners with Bradshaw. No one had done that in a very long time. To now go to this, how does that drastically happen over the course of 2-3 games?
It's the NFL. It's bizarre, though, isn't it?
And the same thing with respect to the defense, though I can't say I'm that surprised with the defense. And this is what was frightening about the defense somewhat. They had been giving up big plays. They could not stop the run. And it was being patched up and overshadowed by the turnovers that they were able to force. Eventually, the turnovers are going to stop. And when the turnovers do, just as they did yesterday, what happens?
You lose. And quite frankly, not only the turnovers, the offense was covering up some of those defensive
True.
Miscues. You don't remember that 80-yard, 12-play scoring drive when the offense turns around, hits Victor Cruz for a 65-yard touchdown. You don't remember that 12-play, 80-yard drive as much. The offense was hiding some of those warts on defense, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneer game. Perfect example. The defense got lit up in that contest, but the Giants put up a 40 spot. They were able to win. Very, very similar to the Cleveland Browns. The defense let Brandon Weeden just march up and down the field in that first half. What happens? Eli Manning puts on his captain comeback hat. They come back in the second half and they win the game. So you don't realize the issues you're having on defense. But now the script is almost flipped a little bit. Now the defense, I think, is a little bit ahead of the offense.
And the special teams is not helping either
no.
of them.
It's a mess.
Make matters worse.
939-4513. Devin's up in Buffalo. What's up, Dev?
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to start off by saying this. The only members of the Giants organization that show up week to week is Giants Online. I can honestly say that.
We appreciate it, man.
Listen, guys, I think, I can't believe I'm saying this. I wouldn't say this last year, but I really do think we miss Brandon Jacobs. I really do. He was that emotional guy that, like, you know, brought it. Now, I know Bradshaw's emotional and all. You know, he slapped Victor earlier. You know, getting everybody pumped up. But I don't know. It just seems like Jacobs was that guy that just made us, you know, want to play better. He made everybody just want to. He just got everybody ready. Like, I think early in the week, A.J. Green was, you know, talking a little trash about the Giants. Like, if we had Jacobs still on the team, we would have heard some comments. Now, do we?
Well, Antro
like
Roll
that
came back at him and said that he better duck when he comes my way. So, I mean, they were fighting back with words a little bit.
Hey, but words are words,
yeah.
Devin. It's just words. They're superfluous. They don't matter. You got to go out there and play.
Yeah, but, you know, but just having that guy brings the energy. Now, I can't honestly, I really don't know what's going on. I think it's because we're the Super Bowl defending champs, and I think Anina talked about this earlier in the week. Like, teams are just playing us better because we are the champs. Like,
oh,
they just
please.
Have that grudge against us, so they want to play better.
Do you know what that is, Devin? That's an excuse.
Yeah.
That's an excuse.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We should be winning games, but you know, in terms of looking for a reason to what's going on, that could, you know, be part of it. I think a guy talked about he was coming at Eli a little earlier in the show. I don't see anything wrong with E. Like
no.
Those two picks, yeah, you know, he tried to force it, but he forced it at right times. At least they weren't, you know, horrible times where we're up and we didn't need to make those throws. Like, he was trying to make a play. I could see why he was trying to do it, you know?
I hear you. I understand that, Devin, and appreciate the phone call, but I think you could also counter that with the argument to say that it did come at critical times because it really stockpiled one issue after the other. Bradshaw fumbles, then the Giants get the football back, and then Manning throws the pick, and then another turnover, and that was a critical moment because they had the ball to start the third quarter. They didn't do anything with that. But then they kept getting the ball back because the defense did enough to halt Cincy, yet the offense just kept giving the Bengals gifts back. So to me, at that point, it completely took any sense of motivation or momentum away from the Giants. They could not gain any rhythm because of these turnovers. If Manning takes a sack, perhaps they can salvage something out of these drives, though.
I mean, they gave the Bengals the ball twice inside the Giants' own 20. You can't do that and expect to win. It's that simple.
They gave the Bengals the ball, at the Giants' 12, and then they wound up getting the Gresham touchdown. And then
17, right, was the other one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Right, the 16, rather.
16, yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Those interceptions were extremely costly, I would make the argument.
And as for this whole, they're playing the Giants tougher because they're the champs thing, which, again, I think is nothing more than an excuse. Timeout. Hold on a second here. Okay? Did the Panthers play their best game against the Giants this year? The Panthers have proven to be a decent middle-of-the-road NFL football team this year. They have a good defense. They didn't show up for that Thursday night game, all right? Throw that out the window. The Cowboys had 6 turnovers. Felix Jones ran into his own offensive lineman and fumbled the ball. Did Dallas play their best game against the Giants 3 weeks ago? No, if they did, they would have beat the Giants by about 30 points, the way the Giants played in that game. So you can throw that out the window. Did the 49ers play their best game against the Giants 5 weeks ago? I don't think so. Alex Smith had his worst game of the season. Threw the ball right to Anshar Roll. So let's not make excuses here. The Giants certainly aren't. And we're not going to make excuses for them on Giants.com either. 201-939-4513. Len's in Maryland. What's up, Len?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Len?
I just want to say the sun is shining in Columbia, Maryland this morning, even after yesterday. But the ultimate indignity in the Washington area yesterday was that the Fox local channel pulled the game toward the end of the third quarter. Not that I blame them.
Right,
but I had to miss seeing the entire fourth quarter of the game.
You didn't miss much, Len.
Fox didn't think enough of it to keep the game on.
You didn't miss much of it, let me tell you.
Listen, a couple of things. You know, Antrell Roll and some of his quotes and OC after the game saying it was the worst game they've played, and Justin Tuck and his comments and so forth. You know, my favorite Uncle Nick had this saying, and you alluded to it just about 5 minutes ago, talk is cheap, takes money to buy whiskey.
It's a good one.
You know, the coaches... They spend 150 hours a week putting together game plans in the three phases of the game, the goal of which is, at the end of the day, after 60 minutes, that the Giants have more points than the other team. You know, I'm putting this little malaise here over the last 4 weeks, and let's put it in four because I wanted to say something about a four-week cycle.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, come on, guys, play better.
Yeah, play you better. Know?
I mean, I don't think there's anybody who's going to look at this squad, particularly look at our core, maybe expand that to 20 players, and not think that this is one of the three or four best teams in the NFL. In the NFL.
Talent-wise, yes.
Come on, guys, you got to play better. I think it's time for these guys to look each other in the eye and say, come on, you know, we can do this. We're better than this. Let's go out and prove it on the field.
But
and
why
not just have these, you know, these quotes where we're going to knock somebody's head off?
Yeah, but Len, why didn't that happen last week after the Steeler game? I think that's why fans are so concerned. The Giants dodged a bullet against the Cowboys 2 weeks ago because of all those turnovers, and they played a terrible game. Last week, they couldn't dodge that bullet when the Steelers basically, I'll use the phrase, pretty much dominated them from start to finish, despite the fact the score was close. The Steelers clearly controlled that football game, in my opinion. And this week, was obviously the bottom of the barrel.
Let me answer that. Maybe Coach Tom is right. Maybe this team is soft. Maybe it's not just physically soft. Maybe it's mentally soft. But let me get on to one other point. I know you're running out of time here, and I just wanted to make this one point.
Yeah.
You know how the coaches break the year down into quarters. How did we do in the first four, the second four, the third four, so forth,
sure,
and so on. I think they do that for a reason. I think this, you know, playing at less than efficiency, lasts about 4 weeks. You know, if you lose five in a row, you're a bad team playing bad. Now, I think the Giants have, you know, I'm hoping now, but I'm thinking they had their 4 weeks. Less than efficient play, and it's going to pick up. But, hey, in the end, you know, we got a good, solid coaching staff. These guys have a resume. They've had successes. These players got to play better, guys. I mean, they just have to play better.
You said it. You got to execute on the field. And that's the word we haven't really used yet this morning. Len, thank you very much as always, my friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You got to play better. You got to execute on the field. These players aren't making plays when there are opportunities to make plays. Whether it's Martellus Bennett drops, the Victor Cruz drop, blocking somebody in the offensive line, getting to Andy Dalton, letting A.J. Green beat you deep, going up, letting Gresham beat you to the ball in the end zone. Andrew Hawkins, is 5'7". He's bodying people and boxing them out for the ball. 5'7", he's your size, Meadow.
Just think what I could do against the Giants, D. Well, Hosley went for the football, and Hawkins made a great one-handed catch, but it's taking risks, you know, or not taking risks, I should say, and showing better energy, complete lack of energy, and also losing the battle at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And here's another example I want to throw out, and I believe that Carl Banks brought this up on the radio broadcast.
And, you know, I'm sorry, that was Sanu, by the way, that used his body to box out the player in the end zone, not Hawkins, my bad on that. Sorry.
But Hawkins was aggressive in the opportunities that he had to get in the end zone,
correct,
which was on Hosley on that play. Getting back to this point that Carl Banks, I think, touched on, there was a play where the Giants did dial up the blitz, and Mathias Kiwanuka, and we've seen this happen against the Eagles with respect to LeSean McCoy, where Kiwanuka gets matched up with a running back, and he has a huge size advantage. All he needs to do is be more aggressive and run that running back over and get to the quarterback, and at times, he's allowing these running backs to just chop block him. And at the end of the day, what good is that overall if you're not going to try to beat your one-on-one assignments? So it even goes past the play calling, what I'm saying, and it gets back to what Len said. The overall energy, the desire, the pride to want to win your man-to-man battles and ultimately help this team get to the next level and right the ship. And that has not been evident against the Steelers and against the Bengals. And the way that should be apparent is by players going the extra distance. You wrap a guy up, you bring him down. This is fundamental football. This is not scheme. This is nothing fancy. This is not something that the coaches need to spend weeks trying to come up with a new game plan. It's simply telling the players when you're in a position to make a play, you have to execute. And that has been lacking the last couple of weeks.
It has, no question about it. And again, in all three phases, whether it's tackling on defense, Eli making good decisions on offense, whatever the case might be. 201-939-4513. Brian's in Philadelphia. What's up, B?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
Doing well, Brian. What you got?
A little upset about the loss, but, you know, it's part of the season. We're going to lose games. It happens. You know, I think, honestly, you know, this may sound funny, I think this is just who we are. You know, I think last year was the same way. We start off 6-2, we're real good. People start talking about us, best in the NFC and this and that, and then all of a sudden we drop and then we come out of nowhere. I think this is just who we are. So right now I think, yeah, I'm upset, but I just, what happened to us last year? I'm not saying nothing, even though last year, I'm not going to panic right now. You know what I mean? You know, there's things to talk about. There's a whole bunch of things to talk about. But for some reason, I'm just not going to really panic right now. I'm going to just let things flow, you know, because I think this is just who we are, honestly. I think this is, I mean, yeah, we're playing bad, but I think
he's right.
We need this sometimes. You know what I mean?
Well, Brian, I think you're right, and if the Giants taught the rest of the NFL anything last season, it's the old cliche, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Or how you play in the middle.
That's true, which we saw last year as well. So you know what? They've got 6 games left. That will define their season.
And that's what happened last year, too. Look, we were sitting, Brian, and I think you're 100% right, we were sitting in a very similar spot around this date last year when the Giants were not playing good football. I believe this was the week right before they got destroyed by the Saints. So this is a similar situation, which is why if you folks didn't hear me at the beginning of the show, I'm sure some of you guys tuned in later, and I know we've been kind of, you know, knocking the team here and there for all their mistakes. They're right, Giant, you're right. Giant fans shouldn't panic. We've seen this from this group before just last year where they hit this bad stretch in the middle of the season. They got guys healthy, turned things around, and made the playoffs. Now, here's the thing, Brian, and I think this is the important thing to note. They were fortunate at the end of last year to make the playoffs. JPP had that block field goal. That's a play you're not going to get every time. Heck, you had Hakeem Nicks catching Hail Mary passes in the playoffs. Victor Cruz with the 99-yard catch against the Jets, which you might not, you know, get ever again in a spot like that. So the Giants had breaks go their way at the end of last year. Nothing wrong with that. Good teams get breaks. They create their own luck. I get that. But they're once again putting themselves in a position here where they're going to have to make the playoffs by the skin of their teeth, and you'd prefer to avoid that. Unfortunately, like you said, this Giants team just likes to do things the hard way, don't they?
Exactly. And, you know, one more quick thing.
Sure.
I think that this may sound funny, but I think, like, we got that, I mean, that Superman. Like, right now we're just in Clark Kent mode right now. But then soon as, like, all the chips fell, we just seem to take off that shirt and we just come out of nowhere. I think that that's just who we are. You know, Superman from New York anyway. So.
Well, Brian, after the bye, it's time to take off the suit. I think we'll leave it at that.
Exactly.
The urgency is there. It's time to get out of the phone booth and rip off the suit.
The spectacles must come off.
That's right. Indeed.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for the call, man. Brian, I think now that's a nice, reasonable Giant fan who's upset, disappointed, but he understands that this team has shown the ability to really turn things around at the drop of a hat.
Well, what Giant season has been comfortable other than the year after they won this first Super Bowl?
And how'd that one end?
Yeah, because things unraveled right when the playoffs started, and that's another example. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Plenty of time to get things together and turn this around. Unfortunately, you're going to have to do it against six extremely difficult opponents. You got to win in Baltimore, which doesn't seem quite as difficult now as maybe it would have earlier in the season before they had a lot of their injuries on defense.
Well, they look pretty good at home, though.
They look pretty darn
Granted,
good at home.
Granted, it was the Oakland Raiders.
That, well, yeah, true. So that game doesn't maybe look quite as hard now as it did before the season started. The Falcons game probably looks a little bit tougher considering how well they're playing despite their loss to the Saints yesterday.
And the Falcons are a different offense than what the Giants saw last year also. That's important to note.
Different offensive coordinator, obviously. Julio Jones did get hurt yesterday. He came back into the game, but he seems to be okay. They have the Eagles, the final game of the year, a team the Giants have not been able to match up against the last couple of seasons. By then, though, odds are the Philly season is going to be over. They'll have nothing to play for.
But it's a divisional game.
It's a divisional game. And
spoiler, yeah.
You never know. And the Redskins gave the Giants a ton of issues in MetLife Stadium. That's not going to be an easy game. Then, of course, you have the two high-powered offenses in the Packers and the Saints. So
you have always had the Giants numbers.
To me, if everything, you know, you split it down the middle, you're looking at 3-3 in the last six. If you play well, you can get that to 4-2. If you play out of your mind, you can get that to 5-1. Or if you make a couple more mistakes than you want, you could easily go 2-4 in those six games too. So they're going to have to play better. If they don't, this season will go down the drain rather quickly. They have no room for error, especially defensively, in their games coming up after this bye against the Packers.
Because some of these upcoming games could be shootouts with the Packers and the Saints. I mean, those two teams don't necessarily have shutdown defenses either. So it's basically going to be put the ball in your quarterback's hands, let the best man win who could get in the end zone.
201-939-4513. Freddie's in Jersey City. What's up, Fred?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Freddie. What's up?
I just want to say this. I don't have no concerns about the Giants. My main concern is putting David Dill back in the starting lineup. He's like, since he's come back, Eli has no time to pass. He's under a intense amount of pressure, and there you have it.
Hey, look, I'm not going to put all the blame on David Dill. Has he played particularly well since he's gotten back in that starting lineup? It doesn't seem that way. I'm not watching the game film, and the coaches are, so I can just go by what you see on TV. It doesn't seem like he's played two of his best games in the past two contests. And Locklear, though he doesn't get a lot of push in the running game, has been pretty effective in pass protection when he's been in there. But I think that's going to be part of the self-scout this week, Lance. Take a look at your personnel, see who's playing well, see who's not, and you make those decisions in week number 12, I guess it'll be, when you come back against the Packers.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big point of emphasis for the Giants to really take a look at how their personnel groupings gel with one another on the offensive line. Because remember, When Deal came back, he was not immediately inserted back into the starting lineup. They moved him around very slowly, moved him along. Then all of a sudden, they felt he had enough stamina in him, enough strength, that he was ready to take back his starting job, and they moved Locklear back to the swing tackle. Now, perhaps, you have to see, maybe Deal is better fit for that swing tackle spot and have Locklear as the main starter, perhaps.
201-939-4513. Allen is down in Washington, D.C. Allen cannot talk a lot of trash to his coworkers this week.
Yeah, well, luckily there's no Cincinnati fans that I know of in my job, so that's the one good news. But man, we look flat out there, man. There's no energy, no consistency. I mean, at the end of the day, we didn't show up, and you know, this is the reason why. Like, there's always that talk during in primetime games why like the Giants don't get picked because we lose to inferior teams. Like, I didn't see Cincinnati being all that dominant in terms of, you know, beating us. But, you know, there we go again. You know, we didn't show up. I mean, it's one of those games where, like, kind of reminds me of the Redskins game last year where, you know, we should have won the Redskins game because, you know, the Redskins were, in my opinion, like, inferior. I mean, I understand they're a division team, but we shouldn't have lost to them. We lost to them, and you know, it opened up our eyes, you know, a little bit. But, I mean, he doesn't look bad. I mean, Eli, he doesn't look comfortable. He's out of rhythm. And, you know, the receivers had, you know, some key drops. They're not helping them out either. And, you know, I think, you know, the defenses are adjusting to you know, what we've done in the past. We have to mix it up a little bit more. And we have two more division games, and they're like Green Bay, the Saints, Falcons, and the Ravens. Those are very, very hard teams to beat. I don't care if they're away or at home. You know, we just got to play better ball, man. This is time to show up. It's, you know, all hands on deck. Everybody's got to be in on it, just like we were last year, man. Because if we don't get, you know, everybody in on this, then we're going to lose games. You know, that's the bottom line.
Alan, I'm with you. You're right.
Yeah, I don't buy those excuses, man. We're like, we're the defending champions. This is the new year. Everybody's hungry, you know. Everybody's as hungry as we are. We got to remember that. And, you know, just because we're the champs, yeah, maybe we got a little more airtime in the early on in the season. But now is when it matters, you know. Being defending champs should give us more of a drive to defend our crown, you know. That's how I look at it, man. I don't buy these excuses. I just hope we just start playing better ball.
Allen, bottom line, Giant fans, and thank you very much for the call, buddy. Good to hear from you. We'll talk to you later in the week. Giant fans called up Lance and I during that four-game winning streak, and the common refrain was, "These guys give us no respect. No one ever picks the Giants to win anything." Do you know why? You lose to the Bengals in a game like this. That's why. And the Giants have always been this up-and-down, inconsistent team with this group. That's why they don't get the type of respect, say, an undefeated Falcons team gets.
It's all about trends in the NFL. If you win consistently and you have that good track record, the media will more often than not select you as a favorite. If you continue to play like this, where you win four, you lose three, you win two, you lose three, this up-and-down mode, it is hard for any of the so-called experts to say that the Giants are the team to beat. Until they right the ship and show that they are a consistent football team, that respect is not going to come their way.
201-939-4513. The calls keep pouring in, Lance. Scott is in Arizona. What's up, Scott?
Scott, are you there?
Yeah, this isn't Scott. This is Drew.
Drew,
oh,
okay.
Sorry, Drew.
Sorry
what's
about
going
that.
On, pal? How are you?
What's going on? Yeah, I'm here to talk about the running game. At what point, you know, I know I understand Bradshaw is our $18 million baby and everything, but at what point do we go back to seeing how much damage Andre Brown's done in the little time he's been in and getting him the ball more? I mean, we clearly didn't run the ball the way we should have this last week. So
hey,
I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Nah, Drew, and I get what you're saying, and I'll go back to the point I made earlier. Since Bradshaw stopped practicing during the week, he's been much less effective. Now, whether that's because of actually practicing less or if it's because his foot is hurting him and he just can't be as explosive, I don't have the answer to the question. I'm not inside the guy's body. I don't know. But you have seen, I think, a less explosive, less effective, less productive Ahmad Bradshaw since he stopped practicing more than once a week. And I have no issue with giving Andre Brown another shot, because when Andre Brown has played, Lance, and it's hard to argue this, he's been effective.
But really in one game where he really stood out and said, wow, if Bradshaw goes down, this guy can be the reliable number one back. And that was the Panthers game where he had 20 carries for 113 yards. You look at the other games after that, and I'm not sitting here and trying to protect Ahmad Bradshaw and saying that he's the number one option and the only option that the Giants should look for. But I'm saying the running game overall has struggled, regardless of the personnel in the backfield. After that Carolina Panthers game, Brown ran against the Eagles, 5 carries, 14 yards. Cleveland, San Francisco, he had the concussion. Washington, 5 carries, 17 yards. We're talking 3 yards a carry here. This is not amazing stuff. Dallas, he had 3 carries for 21. Okay, that's good. However, his longest run was 14.
No, you're right. And he had 7 for 20 against Pittsburgh and 7 for 65 in garbage time.
I mean, is that really jumping off the page?
No, but he hasn't had a lot of opportunities either.
That's
fair. Andre Brown is a between-the-tackles power back. That's a guy you need to get more carries to get production. So the last time he actually got more than 7 carries was that game against Carolina when he was so effective.
And then
so you're right. It's not like there's a long track record here where he's been fantastic for 4 or 5 games. 100% right. Don't disagree with you. But here's my point. I think we've seen a pattern of lack of success from Bradshaw that needs to be examined a little bit more closely.
And there is. And I think the best way to get the running game back on track is, like you said, give Brown more carries. The number needs to increase, because when the number increases, usually the rhythm of the running game should benefit from that.
All right, we finally gotten to our last call of the show. You guys have been fantastic today. Excellent work. John is in Florida. Good morning, John.
Yeah, man, I'm talking about the D-line.
Sure.
The D-line yesterday for the last 2 games. I've been a Giant fan for over 50 years. And the D-line the last 2 games haven't even shown up to play ball.
Well, they had four sacks
against
Roethlisberger
yesterday. You're right. Manning got sacked, what, 3 times yesterday?
They had four and a half sacks against Roethlisberger last week against Pittsburgh, in fairness.
Yeah, but they ran the ball right down their throat.
That's fair.
In the fourth quarter.
Can't argue that. Redmond ran all over them. That's fair.
And that has a lot to do with missed tackles. And it's not just the line. I would throw the secondary in there,
and the
too.
Linebackers.
Yeah.
So we have to improve on a defense on both sides of the ball. We have to improve. Manning looks like he's lost. Since they got that storm up there, you know, he's looked like he's lost, this poor guy.
Hey, look.
Did his house get destroyed or what?
No, it didn't. Nah. He's okay. I think his lobby just got flooded. I'm sure you saw that picture on Twitter. John, I think you make a good point, though. We've had people call up about Eli. We've had people call up about the running backs. We've had people call up about the offensive linemen.
Ramsey's body.
We've had people call up about the wide receivers. We've had people call up about the misplays in the secondary. We've had people call up about the defensive line. We've had people call up about the linebackers. So what's the Giants' problem? It's all over the place, folks.
That's right.
It's not one thing.
And this isn't us.
They got a tough schedule coming up, and they got to win at least 5 out of these next 6 games. They got to win.
You're right.
Dallas has a cakewalk.
I wouldn't call it a cakewalk. Dallas still has to play the Steelers, and they also need there's one of the really tough team in there besides the Steelers, the Saints. They have to play the Saints. So they have 2 very difficult games left. They have to play Washington twice, which is going
to
be no easy task.
They have to play Philly again.
They have to play Philly again, which is no easy task. Yet they have the Browns. That's fair. And they also have 3 straight home games, which is going to make things a little bit easier for them, even though they don't necessarily play too well down in Dallas. We can go through the Cowboys' schedule right now. They have Cleveland, Philly, and Washington, 3 straight games at home. You figure they should be able to take 2 out of those 3. Then they play at Cincinnati, as the Giants so adequately proved yesterday. That is no easy game for any team. But then they close the game, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, at Washington, and those are 3 difficult games to close the season. You figure the Cowboys, without going through them one by one, in those 7 games, they should be able to go minimum 4-3, they could go 5-2 if they play well. But remember this, and I think this is an important point to make, John. The Cowboys have been more inconsistent than the Giants have. You think you don't know a Giant team's going to show up? You have no idea what Cowboy team's taking the field every week.
It's only troubling me. I get the Giant games on the red zone. That's the only time I can see them unless they're nationally televised.
Right.
But I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and I went to the Polo Grounds to watch them play and the Yale Ball. I've been all over the place with the Giants. So,
hey, appreciate it, John.
You have a great day.
From 2 Brooklyn boys here to 1 more, we thank you very much for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of ex-Brooklyn people calling in here. BK in the house.
getting back to the point about the schedule and the inconsistency between both of these teams, and this is just pure speculation at this point, and I believe I said this earlier in the year, I really think that this is going to be another season where the NFC East is going to be won with 9 games.
No question.
9 victories.
And we said that before the season started, that 9-7 win the division, and I'm sticking with it. 9-7 wins this division. And here's the problem with the Giants. You got to wonder about the tiebreakers here. If the Giants and Cowboys end up being tied for the division, all right, first thing you can go head-to-head, split. The Cowboys still have a lot of work to do in the division. Right now the Giants are 2-2. The Cowboys are 2-1. They beat the Giants once and the Eagles once with a loss to the Giants. So the Cowboys have yet to play Washington twice, and they have to play Philly one more time. The Giants obviously still have one more game against the Eagles and one more game against Washington. So obviously the Cowboys with the advantage, they're 2-1. Giants are 2-2. One more loss on the board. So let's say theoretically that becomes a wash and they remain tied. Though right now, Avanti Dow is in that category. Then you go to common opponents, okay? You have the NFC East, which obviously is common opponents. Then where do you go?
The AFC.
You go to the AFC. Yeah. Who have the Giants lost their last two games to? Steelers and the Bengals. That's going to hurt them in common opponents. And then you flip it around, too. The other common opponents they're going to have are in the NFC South, where the Giants have already beat Carolina and Tampa Bay,
but they
so we got to see
Saints or the Falcons.
The Saints and the Falcons. The Cowboys, meanwhile, have lost
to the Falcons.
To the Falcons,
beat the Panthers and beat the Bucks.
They narrowly beat the Panthers, correct?
Correct. Narrow game.
And then and then in the AFC North, they have lost to the Ravens.
But
so
they still have games against the Steelers and the Bengals.
Correct. And the Browns.
Yeah. So it's still
so,
very early to tell.
But I think the Cowboys probably, by
out.
A slim margin, the Cowboys probably have a slim tiebreaker advantage right now with the Giants if they end up tied at the end of the season, which, quite frankly, I still don't think they will. I don't think the Cowboys get to 9 games. They've shown the NFL no reason to think they can win 5 out of 7 games with the way they play inconsistent football.
Been very up and down. That's why I think 4-3 is probably a more realistic prediction in their final 7. Who knows? Maybe 8-8 is going to win this division. I mean, you hope not. You hope the Giants can win more than 2 games in their final 6.
But with the schedule, is it out of the
no,
is it out
not.
Of hand that you would think the Giants go 2-4?
Especially going back to the trends that we just talked about.
And quite frankly, if it turns out 8-8 does win this division, are the Eagles and Redskins necessarily out of it? Could one of those two teams go 5-2 in the last 7 games? I don't think that's impossible.
Well, just out of curiosity, let's take a look at – I don't know what the Eagles and the Redskins' schedule looks like. Philly's schedule, they've got Washington next week.
Oh, boy.
And Dallas.
There are
a lot of winnable games there, Lance. Tampa Bay, Cincy, and Washington during one stretch.
And Carolina.
Two of them
at home. Panthers, two at home.
And remember, last year they got hot and nearly won the division if it wasn't for the Giants' win.
After being in a very similar situation than they are this year, I think they were 3-5 last year, and they came back and made a run at the division. So that's the Eagles. Let's bring up the Redskins' schedule here. They have the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants. Wow, 3 NFC East games in a row for Washington.
That's going to
make or break their year, exactly. And then they close the year against the Ravens, the Browns, the Eagles. Wow, they have 5 NFC East games left. Wow. They've only played 1 NFC East game so far this year. That's amazing. So I think the Eagles and the Cowboys probably have – the Eagles probably have the easiest schedule out of all the teams, to be honest with you. And the Cowboys have the second easiest, then the Redskins. And I hate to say it, I think the Giants probably do have the toughest with Baltimore, Atlanta, Green Bay, and New Orleans.
Plus knowing that they have to go to Atlanta and go to Baltimore.
So the Giants do play better on
the
road.
They do play better on the road. You're right. But those teams are pretty comfortable with the way they're playing at home too.
So this is we actually did a pretty good job here. It took us till week 10 to start looking at schedules for the rest of the year. We waited a long time. I think this is a good time to start doing it. Fair?
Well, considering the bye week has now come, we're going to have to be talking about something over the next 2 weeks start focusing on the Packers.
Well, we can't talk about our picks as well.
Would you like to talk
about our
picks?
That
is a big topic of discussion. Why don't you gloat a little bit more?
Well, Lance had a very rough week this week.
Risks, though. High risk, low reward.
Well, you can talk about that all you want. Both of us won the Cowboys game against the Eagles. Both of us picked Dallas correctly. We already discussed that game. Cowboys won with a couple defensive touchdowns, a special teams touchdown. Romo very efficient, 73%, 200 yards, a couple of touchdowns.
And one quick side note, Michael Vick concussion. Nick Foles gets the call. Who knows what the status of Vick is moving forward?
Who knows is right. Upset specials, you took a very, very brave selection. I give you credit for it last week, and they almost pulled it out. The Bills just coming up short against the Patriots. I thought the Chargers would beat the Bucs. They did not. The Bucs are actually playing pretty good football here. They turned out to be a pretty decent team.
And speaking of the Bucs, just to bring it back to the Giants connection, how about what Mike Sullivan, the former quarterback's coach, is doing as offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay, and what Josh Freeman has now all of a sudden become. His development has been great.
And he's been doing a great job, and really with one wide receiver. Mike Williams is okay, but Vincent Jackson's the only big play guy. They're not really throwing it to Dallas Clark, the tight end.
Underwood doesn't rock your boat?
No, he does not. Doug Martin, though, is obviously giving him a lot of production at the running back position. They use him as a receiver, too. So that's obviously worked out well for Tampa Bay. Our wild card games, I had the Seahawks over the Jets. That's a win. Both had the Saints to beat the Falcons. That worked out rather well for both of us. That was a good pick. I had the Texans. You had the Bears in a real sloppy game. I honestly did not watch a lot of that game. But it just seemed like a pretty sloppy affair.
Oh, Jay Cutler suffered a concussion. Speaking of concussions, there must have been about five or six quarterbacks this week that were knocked out of games.
I almost feel like part of this is that they're getting so good at diagnosing them. You're just getting a lot more of them now detected than you did in the past. So maybe they were happening before, but the tests weren't good enough to detect them. Now the tests are so good that they're showing up a little bit more.
Well, and I think teams are not taking risks anymore.
And
a
rightfully
so. A guy
gets
a hit to the head, take him out, talk to him, evaluate him before you even think about bringing him back onto the field.
Remember, this is an NFL issue, too. These are the restrictions that the NFL put into effect to protect their players. 100% the right thing to do. You got to make sure
Absolutely. The
brain area is good to go. I mean, just look at Melroy. He can barely function, and he's had a lot, you know. So.
And that's why he's last in fantasy football.
That's a nice shot, Lance.
Apparently,
like
you know, something's not clicking.
All right. And Lance had the Lions beating the Vikings in his other wild card game, so that also didn't work.
I thought the Lions would turn the corner. It was a big game for Calvin Johnson, but
Adrian
without
Peterson.
Percy Harvin, they turned to Peterson. He just ran wild on
I'll
that Lions
D. He's been able to come back from that ACL injury. I figured he would, you know, have a pretty decent year. Looks like his old self. I mean, he's been amazing.
He's comeback player of the year. I don't know who else would give him competition at this
point.
Has to be.
All right, so overall, we both like the Steelers tonight. Overall, let's see. I didn't write it down before when I calculated it. So that's 0-1
for Lance. Surprised you haven't memorized it by
0-2 for Lance. 0-3 for Lance. So that's 2-3 for Lance this week. And he drops to 23-28. That's five games under 500, Lance. That's poor. Schmelk, on the other hand, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. That's pretty good. So I have gotten back to 500 at 26-26.
Yes.
With a monstrous 2.5-game lead on Lance Meadow in the standings.
Well, that's what happens when you choose the Seahawks beating the Jets. It's what we like to call taking the easy way out. You got to show some brass you-know-what, okay? Bills over Patriots. I want to see you take some risks this coming week.
Hey, my
record.
We'll
have to make our picks earlier.
We'll have to make our picks tomorrow.
Correct.
By the way, my record on my upset specials is phenomenal this year, and you know that to be true.
I mean, you're a self-proclaimed guru, apparently.
I am not. There's only one guru that holds
really?
Blue Kickoff Live, and it ain't John Schmelk. Though I am in first place in both the picks and fantasy, so you can make your own decision.
It's
about
a little
that.
Side note. Not that important. But
footnote.
You know,
it's a footnote at the bottom of the page. First place champion.
It's time to turn the page, don't you think? I mean, you know, we're done with this chapter already.
Final thoughts, Lance, on the game on Sunday and looking ahead to the bye week.
Well, I think that what we have emphasized throughout the course of this show is it's a blessing in disguise that the bye has come when it has come. It was very early last season, and this is an opportunity for the Giants to take a step back. Everyone, offense, defense, special teams, coaches, you name it, and think of ways that they can improve all three facets of this football team. This is a positive to have 2 weeks to do that. Most teams do not have those opportunities this late in the season. They've already had their buys. And also, I think it's a positive that they can get back to full health. They're expecting Kenny Phillips to return, hopefully, for the Packer game. Jaquan Williams, I think, is going to be a huge addition for them. And perhaps giving Bradshaw 2 weeks of rest and Hakeem Nicks will only help their offense in the long run. So that's the big picture right now. Get back to full health, tweak the playbook, evaluate. As far as that, you're not bringing anybody off the street, you're not making a waiver claim, and you're not benching players who may have had a patch of three rough games. It's not happening, and it's not smart to do that.
And I think you're 100% right. Those are all great points. And also, I'd say, Giant fans, we've seen stuff like this before. And I think a couple callers made this point before. Brian in Philly made the point. And I think our first caller of the show, Jay in Washington, D.C., made this point as well. There's no point to panic. It's not helping anything. We've seen this team go through this malaise in November before. And all the players that poo-pooed that over the week from the media, November slump, oh, that's not going to happen. Well, you know what? It's happening again. I hate to tell you, folks, it is. But it's okay. Because the Giants still have a 1.5-game lead in the division. Tom Coughlin's mantra last year and this year, finish. The Giants still have their destiny in their own hands. They have 6 games remaining. They'll look at themselves during the bye week. You fix things. You're still in the playoffs. And as Giant fans know from 07 and 011, once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. So there you go. Bottom line. And we'll see what happens.
And here's the bigger positive. By the time the Giants return, there will only be 1 game left in the month of November. The rest is December. So November is slowly coming to an end.
That is true.
That's a big positive.
Though, Lance and I will say this. There's one thing that both of us are concerned about, and we talked about this over the course of the show and before the show. We haven't seen an offensive problem like this crop up with the Giants, at least with the passing game, in quite a while. And quite frankly, it's hard for us to really put our fingers on it. It's a little bit of Eli Manning and the decision-making. Not willing to take a sack. Forcing the ball. Holding a little bit, maybe trying to get the ball downfield too much. It's the offensive line not giving the quarterback enough time to throw it from play to play. And it's the receivers who haven't been able to create the type of space and separation you need to get them the ball when they go man up on those DBs. There are problems all across the board here, and you got to work them out.
And the other thing to keep in mind, why it's a bit troubling with the offensive issues, you know, the Bengals on paper were middle of the pack in terms of their secondary, John.
Bottom third of the league.
And look at the opponents they're getting the next couple of weeks. The reason why we say it's tough matchups is because the Packers know how to put points on the board, the Redskins know how to put points on the board, the Saints know how to put points on the board.
The Falcons know how to put points on the board.
Well, the reason I left the Falcons out is what's common, though, between the Packers, the Redskins, and the Saints?
Top quarterbacks?
On defense, very sketchy. You can move the football against them. So that's why, on paper, once again, the Giants are going to enter those games, and you're going to look on paper. It's a nice, juicy matchup for Eli Manning. You got to take advantage of that. And it's troubling that they weren't able to take advantage of a Bengals secondary that was down there.
You're right. We talked about that last week, that this was a week there. Yeah. The Giants' offense should have gotten healthy against the Bengals' defense that was ranked around 20th in the league. And it's the same deal for the next 3 opponents. The Giants' offense is going to have to do some damage because as well as the Giants' defense might play, the Packers are going to score points, the Skins are going to score points, and the Saints are going to score points. Giants got to score some points. Eli Manning needs a touchdown pass. Hasn't had one in 3 weeks.
And 4 interceptions during that stretch as well.
Couldn't help but the defense got some turnovers too. That might help a little bit.
Perhaps.
Your thoughts?
Oh, I would agree. I think if the defense could bail your offense out, you at least have a chance to win.
Lance and I back with you tomorrow morning. We'll try to get a guest on. I'm not sure if we're going to do that. We'll try to figure something out. Otherwise, we can just take your calls. I'm sure Giant fans are still going to be a little irritated. So we'll be happy to talk to you
we'll
right here on Giants.com. We'll make our picks. We'll talk some fantasy stuff. We'll get a little after 10 weeks update from Mr. Melroy. And we'll have some fun with you as well. Lance, thank you very much, my friend.
Have a good one.
That's all the time we have on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com every weekday morning, 9:30 to 10:30. See you tomorrow morning, everybody.